Next Step number 467, May 18th, 2017. We just flew in from Reno. Trump is leaving Washington, D.C. Do you blame him? After they beat up Americans? Right in our capital? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church. And I'm inviting you to take a very special walk with us today as we connect the dots between the physical, the emotional, the psychological, everything in between. This is The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
No, I didn't think it could happen. But it did. I don't think anybody thought it could happen. I mean, not today, right? 2017? Right? 21st century? Yeah, but it did. Just a couple days ago. Right here in America. Washington, D.C. The head of a foreign state comes to visit our president. And his bodyguards start assaulting American citizens, beating them up. And you know the crime? Free speech. Just protesting, peaceful protests. And you've got bodyguards of a foreign leader attacking Americans. And, well, nobody seemed to care about it. Talk about basic rights, guaranteed constitution. I know we have a lot of listeners throughout the world, but you know what? One of the big things here in America, big things, is this freedom of speech. And you have the right to get out and protest. And you can. You can get up and you can even protest politicians, leaders in your own country. But here a politician, a leader from another country, namely the Turkish leader, had come to America, meeting with the president. You had some peaceful protests by Armenian Americans here in Washington, D.C. And the bodyguards of this foreign national, for this foreign leader, come and start attacking violently to the point that people were hospitalized, injured, arrests were made. And the surprising thing is that, you know, there wasn't much press about it. Instead, we were talking about all the violations that had taken place, which are big ones. Yes, I admit. Yes, there's big ones. The president hadn't, he had fired the FBI director. He had, and now new allegations are coming out. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the details of that. You can read about it. But what gets me is this freedom of speech. How important is that in this democracy, and how easily we've forgotten about it? Took place. I will put a link on today's show notes. Do check out the video. Do check out some of the commentary. Because it's a sad day when you see that democracy, when you see that freedom of speech being whittled away. Slowly but surely. And you have nobody to blame. You can't blame. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we had Dr. Yvette Hovsepian-Birs on the program? And she shared with us a poem, a writing. Let's call it a writing. That I have shared with you on several occasions. One that for me became evident. If you remember... it's been about 7-8 years ago, where there was this young gay man who was beaten, the Laramie incident. And this poem was used in a in a play that I saw at that time, The Laramie Project, I think it was called. And basically, just because it's not you, you can't shut up. Let me see, it goes like this. First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak up because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak up because I was not a trained unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak up because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left. There was no one left to speak for me. Well, it's happening again. Yeah, history is repeating itself. You know, you don't talk, you don't make noise about it, and guess what? It's going to happen again. And, you know, it's interesting because I just went through this too. You know, we love to quote people, and especially now with the social media, whether it's a tweet or Instagram little photos that you put up, or even Facebook is notorious for this. You know, you put up a little quote up there. And one that I keep seeing over and over and over again is a Martin Luther King Jr. quote. You know, it's not, we're not going to measure, the violence of the enemy, but the silence of our friends, to paraphrase it, you know. And that's what it is. It's the silence of people. It's really sad. It's really sad. And we're seeing it right now. It's unfolding right in front of us. We saw that. And you know what? Go to our website. Go to our show notes today. Check out the video. You see it. You know, the bodyguards of the Turkish leader come and they start assaulting Americans. Right on our soil, right in Washington, D.C., in the shadow of the White House and everything. And we're talking about other stuff. We're talking about other stuff rather than these basic rights. And you say, well, why haven't the Armenians, why these are Armenian Americans, why aren't they getting people to listen? Because we haven't been around for other things, too. So right now, there's nobody. You know what I mean? It's exactly that poem. We were silent through Darfur. We were silent through Rwanda. We were silent through Ethiopia. The first victims of genocide were silent at other places. And so now, where is everybody? There's nobody left. There's nobody left to make any noise. Something to think about. We're going to come back to it, okay? I've got a lot to share with you today. A lot to share with you. We're going to be looking. Did you hear that Trump is going on his first foreign, his first foreign trip? And he's going to meet with, yes, religious communities from the Abrahamic traditions. We'll talk about that just a little bit. We just got off the plane. Susan and I were up in a place called Reno, Nevada. It is very close to the state capital. We were up there. We went up yesterday, came back today. A very quick trip to do a few things. And just fell in love with the place. We'd been there about 35 years ago. And just fell in love with the climate, the atmosphere, everything about it. I mean, these beautiful mountains all around you, snow-capped. Here it is in the middle of May, and the snow is still there, just a crisp air and wonderful down-to-earth, you know, people. We weren't there long enough to figure out what's going on in the whole town, what the economy's like, what they're doing, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, it was just a slowed down life that was conducive to the whole process of quality, of having a quality life. So I come back with a few thoughts, and let me kick it off with this, okay? Because we were driving through that area. We rented a small little car and went up to a few places, one of which was Virginia City. Now, Virginia City is right off of Carson City and made famous, at least for us, by some people like Lauren Green, Michael Landon, yes, of Bonanza fame. You might recognize those names, Virginia City. Well, we went to Virginia City. Actually, we were there this morning. Talk about time standing still. Wow. The whole town, you come into the town and there's a giant sign that says, this is Virginia City, something like the first tweet was Pony Express. It was cute, but the rest of the town, save for the cars that we were driving in, I mean, the rest of town was just left over from the previous century or maybe even centuries. Mining town. We saw a small little sign over there that referred to a small little area called Chinatown, and remembering that thousands of Chinese were brought over to help mine and help develop that area. And there was a small little recognition and a plaque. And then if you watch those Westerns and you watch things like Bonanza and you see how the West was developed, and I guess I'm sharing this with you because, as you know, we just got back a few months ago from Standing Rock. Last month with the In Issues Ministry and Abriel Books, we worked on a project that brought together two communities, the Armenians and the Native Americans, to celebrate similar atrocities, at the same time similar cultures and achievements, and a celebration of life, really. We called it Days of Solidarity. We were in solidarity with people who've gone through same things, yeah. At least I want to be able to stay outside of that model. At least I want to say that I was somebody who spoke up. So that when I need it, I have somebody to stand up and speak up with me. Now, this isn't a guaranteed thing, okay? Let me just tell you that, okay? And don't expect it to happen. But you know what I mean. In principle, it sounds good. Yes, in reality, we know there's a lot of backstabbing, and we know that there's people who will turn on you on a dime. We know that communities are fickle, and we know all that kind of stuff. But you get the idea that it behooves us as a people to do the right thing and to be able to stand up and talk against some of these injustices that are taking place throughout the world. And so, by the way, we're going to talk more about it because last Saturday we went to a gathering regarding Darfur, and I'll talk about it. It's been an action-packed week, okay? And that's where I'm going, about this action-packedness. But anyway, let's go back to Carson City, okay? Because I'm setting it up. I'm setting it up, okay? So just relax, take a breath right now. And all remember, everything that I talk about, there will be show notes that have links so you can learn more about it. And probably the picture of today's cover picture will be that sign in Carson City, or excuse me, in Virginia City, the sign that says about tweeting and Pony Express. It just caught us like, hey, you know, this is really a place that existed long ago, but doesn't exist today. Okay, so bear with me right now. So you go through this area, and you see signs that tell you that, you know, the Chinese were here, they helped develop it, and you watch shows like Bonanza, and if you've watched enough Westerns, you know that the Native Americans were there, and they're not there now. And you know that there was pioneers, and you know that infrastructure has been laid down. And so you start thinking, as you're driving through some of these areas, these beautiful, beautiful areas, these mining towns where people came and panned for gold, panned for silver. They found these precious metals and they made their wealth on it. And these were part of the development of a lifestyle that we have come to call this capitalistic lifestyle that we have here in America. And yeah, you can turn back. You may want to turn back. It's very difficult. That's not my case. And remember, everything so far I've talked about today in today's podcast, is really outside of the religious spiritual realm. But I'm bringing it down to that religious spiritual. So bear with me. Okay, go with me. I'm setting it up right now. So you're in Virginia City and you're looking out and you're seeing that there's people out there. You're seeing tons of infrastructure. You're seeing towns, small little townships. You're seeing roads that are built. Well, guess what? All of these roads, all of these towns, all of this life came about over the last couple hundred years. And talking here in California, the West, California, Nevada, Oregon, these areas, right? Okay. A life of 100, 150, 200 years. California became a state in 1850. So what is that? 150, 170 years ago, right? Nevada, I'm sure it was right around the same time, maybe a little bit later. They became states. Why? Because they needed to organize. They wanted to be the protection of the United States. They started networking with other states. But this new frontier, the infrastructure for it, the new lines, whether it's a train line, the roads that were made, that were paved eventually, the housing, the cities, the townships, a place where people could live, survive, and beyond survive, to prosper. This did not happen overnight. In other words, it wasn't the guy who was arriving on the East Coast and he took a flight out to the West Coast and just laid down a foundation and built a house. No, it was he who came off of a boat on the East Coast, going through a life and forging to the West and the new frontier. And along the way, yes, people's rights were violated. And yes, along the way, there was all kinds of injustices that were taking place. And we know the history of the United States, whether it's the slavery, bringing slaves from Africa, what happened to the Native Americans. I mean, we just went through it over here. Now, what I'm bringing up over here is I can relate. Why can I relate? Because, well, it happened to my people, too, as Armenians. You go into those barren lands in Western Armenia, and you realize that that's your land, but there's no Armenians there. Just like today, we were over there in Virginia City, and you realize that these are people that have come in there through the last couple hundred years. Not a long time, just a couple hundred years they've been in there, but they've built all this stuff, and where are the people, the indigenous people to this? Well, they're not there. So can you remember them? Yes, of course you do remember them. But whose property is this? And what is that property right? In other words, is it fair to say that this belonged to the indigenous people? Yes, it did at one time. Somebody else living there. Is it fair to say that this is America? This is basically the new frontier. And basically, you lost. The indigenous people lost. And this is basically the conversation that we have in Armenia, right? And I went to historic Armenia, Western Armenia. It's a beautiful land. There's no Armenians there. There are no Armenians there. And this is you don't realize how fundamental this issue is, because this is what people are fighting for. This is what happened in Washington when these Armenian Americans were beaten. It's basically because of these basic understanding of who owns what. And can we get over that idea of ownership and find a common language where it's not about owning that land, but about caring for that land, using that land? I shared with you when I got back from, we did a pilgrimage a couple years ago, both sides of Ararat, we called it. We went on both sides of Ararat. I mean, what we have in Armenia right now is beautiful. Actually, Ararat, the mountain, is majestic on the Armenia side. On the Turkish side, it's okay. It's a nice hill over there. I've shared pictures with you, but the majestic side is Armenia. But I remember that story. The dog in the manger, I don't know, is it a Hans Christian Andersen or whatever, the dog in the manger. And it's a dog who has a bone in his mouth, and he looks and he sees his reflection in the pond. He's going over a bridge and he looks down and he sees his reflection in the pond, and he sees the dog in the pond, the reflection. And he notices that guy's bone is bigger than his. And so he drops his bone. He takes it out of his mouth, thinking that he will reach down and get the reflection bone, right? He doesn't know it's a reflection. He thinks it's a bigger bone. Drops his bone, and he loses both of them, of course. A lot of times we fail to understand that what we do have is a gift. What we do have is truly, truly something precious. And we look for the bigger bone out there instead of taking care of what we do have. And I felt this going through Virginia City, going through this land where the American people or the new frontier has won out. And so you've got people that understandably are upset that, that land used to be theirs. And so They've compensated. They've come up with systems. They've called it reservations. They call it different laws, different legal things. And as we saw when we went to Standing Rock, it's not all that it's meant to be, cracked out to be. There are laws and there are also administration of laws, how those laws get administered. So at some point you need to reconcile and figure this out. I'm going to connect some more dots. Okay, let's take a break right now. I have a song today from an artist, Ara Malikian. One of our dear listeners from the Southern Hemisphere, Arshavir, sent me this link a few days ago. I said, gotta listen to this. And I did. Wow. Wow. The guy is a master of the violin, to say it bluntly. I don't know if he qualifies as virtuoso. Certainly by my lay understanding of the violin, definitely I would say he's a virtuoso, but I don't know much about him. I gotta confess to you, this was the first introduction I had to him off of this video. So I went on and I found some more stuff about him. Fascinating, a little greasy character, but you know, I mean, that like contributes to the grease lightning of that violin. Now I'm gonna play it for you. I'm gonna play a song, actually, I found. It's called Mizerlu. It's a Most Middle Eastern people know the song, but his rendition of it. And I will put a link on today's show notes to some of his videos, or at least one of the videos, and it'll open up a world to many of the videos, because as much as you listen to the music, also there's a visual component too. You should watch him too. Anyway, here is Ara Malikian. Enjoy. Paramalikyan is the artist. I have a descriptor that I personally enjoy using for cases like this. It's wow. I don't know if you've ever used that descriptor. It works for me. Wow. It encompasses everything. And you will really wow if you get out and listen to him while you're watching some of his videos. As I said earlier, as much as it's an audible pleasure, it's also a visual treasure to watch this guy just hop around and move around and play. Enjoying his art, enjoying his creativity. And I hope that you will support him by listening in. Ara Malikyan, you'll find a link on today's show notes.
Next step.
So we hear that President Trump is taking his first foreign trip today. I was going to say this week. It's already this week, end of this week. He's leaving. As you're listening to this, he's in flight somewhere in Air Force One. And one pundit I heard on the radio today said that we in Europe... I'm sorry. One pundit said... I'm very sorry about that, okay? One pundit said that we have a sense of horrified fascination about Trump in Europe. Let me tell you, we're just as horrified, we're just as fascinated. Like, what's going to happen the next day? The White House says that this trip that he'll be taking is to rally religious communities. He's going to be making stopovers not only in Saudi Arabia, in Israel, in Italy, in Belgium. He's going to be meeting with religious communities, but mind you, religious communities that are connected to the Abrahamic traditions. This would be the Jewish, the Christian, and the Muslim in order of history. And you know that Armodoxy, I know how, if you were to go by an Armodox definition, it would be, yes, you know it, it would be Armodoxy Christianity, it would be Judaism, and then Islam that would come afterwards. And only because I venture to say that really the roots to all of it is in this Armodox approach. You understand that it goes back not to the time of Moses or to Abraham, but it precedes Abraham by a good few billion years, right? Shall we say it like that? Because you go to the beginning, and it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God. Think about it for a moment before you start saying, oh, wait, this guy's talking. No, think about it. You either believe this or not. If you believe that in the beginning was the Word, right? You're going beyond Abraham. And in fact, Jesus does say that. Before Abraham was, I am. Yes, he says this. Before Abraham was, I am. And what is that I am? That I am the eternal God. Yes, before Abraham, there was eternal God. So go with the formula. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, in the beginning. We're at 13 billion years ago, right? Okay. All right, give or take a billion here or there, right? And all things began. Anyway, I'm not here to argue that chronology, okay? You understand where I'm coming from. I understand where you're coming from. Let it sit at that. It's not who was the first. But what is important today for our discussion is that here is a president of the United States going out into the world, and he's going to be talking with different religious communities and trying to rally them against terrorism And he goes on the record as saying that, you know, this terrorism has its roots in fundamental Islam. And you have a community, you have a world that's going to be listening in, tuned in. It's going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to be tuned in. Because along with this, he's also going to Israel, and he's going to go to the wall, to the Wailing Wall, make his pronouncements over there. He's going to go to the seat of the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, he's going to the Vatican, and he's going to be this ambassador of peace, I guess, right? Seriously, I mean, you know, when I get serious and I tell you that these politicians, they're all the same stuff, you know, why are we depending on them? Look what he's doing. Look what he's doing. He's actually listened. He's somebody saying that, hey, I need help and I'm going to go to the religious community. And what is the religious community going to do? Are they going to fight against the terrorists? What are they going to do? Well, they're going to play it by politics, because the religious community has lost its sense of understanding as a spiritual entity, as one that can approach these conflicts on a spiritual plane, at least with the spiritual weapons that they are equipped and that they do use. But is that what's going to happen? Or is this just another political game that people are going to be out there and saying that, hey, look at me, I'm this kind of person, I'm that kind of person, and basically another division in the world. It's going to be an interesting trip. Let's put it out that way. And with all benefit of the doubt given, we'll just wait it out and we'll talk about it next week. But what I'm saying to you is that keep your eyes open, because what we started off today's show with what's going on about free speech, is something that is deteriorating and is necessary to ensure the quality of what we're seeing out there. So he goes out there and he meets with all these other people. Don't you want to get a fair assessment of that? And free speech is so necessary so you can hear all the different sides. And if there's something that's out of whack, you need to be able to criticize it. You know, I can't tell you how important this is to our life. Do you know that through journalism, and I'm not talking about what's out there right now, because today there's just so much. In fact, people get on Facebook thinking that they are journalists, right? They'll write something. But through journalists, I mean, huge organizations have been brought down. People have come to understand corruption. This goes back, let me see, I would say 1860s here in this country. There was in New York, horrendous graft. There was a politician named William Marcy Tweed. Tammany Hall. Corruption like you couldn't believe it. And it was the press. It was the free speech that exposed it. There was a guy named Thomas Nast. Let me see. I'm going to make a note over here. I would love to share some of his work with you too. Thomas Nast. He was a political cartoonist. The power of the press, the power of those drawings, of those political cartoons. They brought down Tammany Hall. They brought down Tweed. And when you start understanding how effective that pen is, you understand what it means when they say the pen is mightier than the sword. Yes, I only brought up one incident, you know, Tweed, Tammany Hall, and Thomas Nast, but there have been so many others. The pen is mightier than the sword. There's a meaning to that, right? There's a way of negotiating. Not everything has to be settled by who's got the biggest bombs, who's got the biggest weapons. And yes, a lot of stuff has happened in the past. But the only way to ensure a peaceful future is for us to be that last link in that chain, in that entire chain of events, and saying that I will not repeat the past. okay, things have gone bad in the past, but today is a day of change, and I'm going to be that new link in that chain. And this link will attach to things that bring about peace. So when we pray, make me an instrument of your peace, is make me that chain that turns around, that latches onto the past in a sense of memory, but latches on to the future in a new opportunity to begin again and to understand and to have compassion. And you know what? This is not as outrageous as it sounds. And if you look around, you open your eyes and you look around and see the many people that are making changes in the world. They're making changes not by violence, but they're making changes by doing the right thing and the good thing at the right time. Case in point, you know, for how many years I've shared with you the stories of our dear friend Gabriel Starring, his wife Katie J. Scott, his wonderful IAC team, IACtivism. Definitely I'll have a link on today's show notes. Last Saturday night, we went to a celebration for their programs. And you cannot measure the happiness that I had. A small group of us from In Issues went to celebrate with them. And here's a guy who one day just woke up and said, I need to do something about Darfur. Because I cannot let history go by. And for at that moment, if my kids ask me, what did you do? I can't say that I stayed silent. And so Gabriel Starring put together this small group of people. They've gone countless times to Darfuri refugee camps at a complete total discomfort to themselves, at times at the risk of even losing their lives. And they've brought the story of the refugees to us, to a world that really could care less, because who cares about Darfur? And as I've shared with you many times, we as Armenians have been the ones who have neglected Darfur tragically. Yes, even against our call, we asked you to put your feet in the shoes of others, in the shoes of the Darfuris. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. You know, they're not Christian. You know what? The color of their skin is not the same color as ours. We begged you to do it. People found excuses. They came to round up the Darfuris, but we didn't stand up because we weren't Darfuri. Then they came for me, and there was no one to stand up for me. It's exactly the same words. You need to put something into it. And so Gabriel has showed us a way. And this is why several years ago we applauded him. And even when we brought him into the Armenian community and applauded him as the man of the year, gave him an award. We helped out. And I'm very proud to go on record to say that financially we've helped out. The programs that he's had for Camp Darfur, that he's had out there in the refugee camps. Now he's working with United Refugees. And definitely check out the links on today's show notes. We were just genuinely happy to be part of that last Saturday night. But my happiness came because of this. He got up at that event. And I remember 10 years ago or sometime around then going to one of his events. And, you know, it was just a small group of people. And here we were at this big old, I'd say a few hundred people, and he got up to make his speech that night in the midst of the celebration, and all of the things were donated. And he got up and he says, I don't know about half of you. Thank you for coming. And it occurred to me, do the good thing, and you grow exponentially. Because the number of people there were beyond what we could have believed. And it had grown exponentially. And it's really, this is the power that I'm talking about that we need to tap into. Every one of us. The power of God. This is what it means. You know, the other day, I met somebody who was suffering with all kinds of difficulties in her life. And as I was talking with her, the notion came up. in our conversation that the suffering was caused by God because of some bad things that she had done. Basically, she had not stood up for what was right. And it occurred to me, it's not that God had said, oh, let's go down there and like let's cause some suffering because she didn't stand up for the right. No, but it's that guilt. It's that conscience. It's that stress that's inside of you, eating away at you, that causes all of this. And if that conscience isn't the voice of God, well, nothing else is. You know what is right. You know what you have to do. And so, to bring it all together, to tie up this whole today's everything we're talking about. Yeah, Trump's going out there and he's going to be trying to solicit the Abrahamic traditions. Yes, I go out to a place called Reno and we see all this stuff and we say that, yeah, some people lost, some people won, but who does this belong to? Yes, we go out there and we see that Americans are being beaten up and nobody seems to care. But the real caring, the real connection to all of this is you and me taking responsibility for this. And this is how I want to end today's show. Remember last week I told you that I was asked to go and speak at the Western Diocese Lady Society. They wanted me to talk about social media. Yeah, you know, Father Voskin, he's got all this stuff that's going on. But let him talk about social media. Okay, so I... Sorry, that's a side commentary. Okay. So I got up there and I had some really cool slides made too. And I made this presentation. I talked about Facebook. I talked about Instagram. I talked about Twitter. And I talked about Flickr. I don't know if any of you know them. Very few people use this service. I love it. They give you 1 terabyte. Terabyte. It's run by Yahoo. They give you 1 terabyte of space to put your pictures there. And it's fantastic for churches. So I was talking about how churches can use social media. And I talked about, you know, like this is a place where you could deposit the pictures. And so many people take pictures these days, take movies, deposit them there, and then have this little area, this little archive that can be shared. Because 1 terabyte is an awful lot of space for pictures. I know it gets filled up quickly, but, it takes a while to fill it up. Let's say it that way. But I did talk about Facebook. I did talk about Instagram. I talked about tweeting and how important it is for the churches. But I also mentioned this, and this is what I want to leave you with today, that a lot of times we tend to believe that these are the cure-alls, especially within the church, within church life, especially something that's sometimes noted for not keeping up with the times. Case in point, recently one of the churches here was just so excited because they were on Facebook. They sent out their regular traditional newsletter to the people, and there's like this whole page dedicated to like, hey, look, we are on Facebook. Connect with us on Facebook. It's cute. Yes, it's cute. There is this tendency to believe that somehow tech has all the answers, that through technology we can answer. And there is a lot of things that tech can do. Certainly, I'm the first person to tell you that, as we do. And that's probably why they asked me to come and speak. That's why we do these podcasts. That's why, you know, since 1986, when 85, 84, when I got my first Timex Sinclair and put on a list of all my sermons on there. Yes, a computer that had 1K of memory, and I was able to program it to put the entire lectionary for a full year on there. Yes, since that time, I realized that there is an importance to this technology. But here's the thing, and especially neophytes to this technology will believe that somehow it can do everything, and it can't. And we have to understand the limitations of this electronic media. Namely, there is no substitution for that human touch. And I'll be honest with you, I spoke at that meeting last week, and the one thing that everybody, including many of the clergy that came back, telling me that the one thing that they really appreciated me saying was this bit, because it's so true. I saw it growing up too, you know, TV. If it wasn't a computer screen, it was TV. There were people who would, you know, watch TV programs of evangelists talking. That's not your church. Yes, they're wonderful. Go and listen. Go and listen. You can listen to whoever you want out there. But you need that community life. People come up to me and they say that, will you do my wedding? Will you do my marriage? No, I don't. In fact, just this last week, I had to refuse somebody else. That's not the point of getting married. It's to be a part of a community. It's not just about getting a designer priest to get out there and give your vows in front of people. But eventually, you have to function as a family within a community. And that building, the existence of the community, is so important. And so the neophyte always has this, neophyte to technology will always have this illusion that somehow that technology can handle everything, when in reality, really, they hold the greatest gift of all, and that's that human touch. That's the miracle that we saw through IACT, or what Gabriel does. Yes, you want to talk about technology. I mean, they've got a string of these MacBooks, ProBooks, and they've got all kinds of cameras that they're out there and everything. But at the end of the day, it's his human touch at those refugee camps, playing soccer with these kids one-on-one. That's the enduring power of what his work is. Yes, Donald Trump is out there talking about all these pie in the skies, but what's going to work is going to be when he sits one-on-one with these people and is able to do what he claims he can do, is to do that negotiation. And the same is true when it comes to us. When we start realizing that we have to be on the one-on-one with everyone else, if we expect someone to stand up with us, we have to be standing for others. We have to be able to stand with the others. We have to be in solidarity with others. We have to place our feet in the shoes of others and walk with them, run with them, perhaps dance with them, perhaps stop and slouch with them. Whatever the case, we have to be in the shoes of others. Let me take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcements. I'll be back in a few moments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
I don't know if I ever get a chance to thank you to the point of saying that you do make a difference in my life. When I get your emails, just the simplest little note from you telling me that you're listening, that you're out there, it means so much to me. It does volumes. And so I thank Susie for that announcement. I thank you for your words of encouragement, most importantly for your prayers. Are you interested in a prayer line? I'm putting this out to you, to our listeners. If you are, do drop me a line. I would love to include you as well. We're coming up with this idea of putting together an electronic prayer circle, where we can pray for one another and ask for God's help in the things that are so important for us to do. You know, every Monday night we are doing these English language services. They need a lot of prayer, because it is a new dimension. It is a really brave area that we are forging, and I can't thank the Archbishop enough for giving us the opportunity and for lending his trust to our abilities to pull this off. But it requires our full commitment and trust that God is directing us in the right way. We do have the first edition. I did promise you that we would get it out. We do have the first of these Monday night lectures available on YouTube. No, it's not. Excuse me. Okay, she's putting up her hand. Okay, I guess it's not. Yes, it is up there, but we haven't publicized it yet. Okay, you know what? I'll do it this way. On today's show notes, you, because you are our Next Step listeners, we'll put the link on today's show notes to the first of a series of these lectures. And this is basically an introduction to Bible study, the one that I gave last Monday night. So it's a YouTube video. Do check it out. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear what you think of it. Okay. It's a Bible study made for you. And we're hoping that, you know, this is going to catch on and this could be bigger than what we expected at the beginning. But I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your prayers. They do go a long way. Next Thursday, when we regroup, it will be Ascension Day, Hamparzum, and we'll have a special podcast for that day. In the meantime, I want to invite you to get in touch with us in all the usual places. Connect with us, especially on Facebook, on Instagram. Check out the nice pictures, as well as Twitter. Follow our tweets. And, of course, the mothership, inhisshoes.org, repostle.net, wherever. You know, we're just all over the place. I'm going to call it quits for right now. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of our producer, Susie, on behalf of Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vosken inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath. Cut out!